T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show is brought to you by Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group, retirementkey.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Good morning to you. You listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman over there, and Sue Thomas along with your traffic here in just a couple of minutes. We appreciate you being here. You know, you can always download the podcast if you can't listen to all 4 hours. That's why I loved being at the Thomas Helbig event last night. Room full of 97.1 listeners, and every one of them, it seemed like, Kim, listens at different parts of the day. I had one guy whose commute starts at 5 a.m., takes him an hour to get to work, so he listens to us from 5 to 6. And others that don't, of course, get up that early, they're listening in the 8 o'clock hour.
I know there was one guy who called into the show one time who commutes every single day back and forth to Nashville, Tennessee. So it's like a 4.5 hour commute.
Yeah.
So he probably listens to the entire show.
Well, and hopefully he'd be listening to it on the app, which makes it easier, right? If you're traveling out of the immediate broadcast area, you can do that. And however you get here, we appreciate it. You can also download the podcast at 971talk.com or right there off the Odyssey app. And if you missed anything, you can get back there and listen in. Coming up, we're going to check in with our friend Griff Jenkins. I just saw him live on Fox a minute ago. In fact, he's live on Fox right now. He's interviewing the Maryland governor right now about that bridge collapse. And since he was the reporter they chose to put on the scene, I'm like, we have an opportunity for some bonus Griff this week.
We love bonus Griff.
I know. He always joins us one day a week anyway, but now we'll get him on here twice as he covers this this bridge collapse. And, of course, earlier we were talking about Laura Logan, and she's been reporting on several different outlets that some sources are telling her in law enforcement that they're concerned that there might be more to this. They don't have any hard proof of that yet, but it's a scenario they've worried about for years. And I'll play you some more of that later so you can hear what she had to say about the whole thing. Next hour, we're going to talk about that transgender ruling by the Supreme Court. They have allowed authorities to remove a child from the home of parents who didn't agree with the child's transition. It's outrageous on its face. We're going to talk to Abraham Hamilton about that. He's the lawyer for the public policy for the American Family Association, which is a public policy association. And we'll get you more details on that about 8:20. Right now, though, we want to get to our top stories this morning. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood. Who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible?
Imagine only out of Donald Trump's mouth could that be a controversial statement. Trying to encourage people to buy a King James version of the Bible, and the left hates him for it. Can you imagine that?
So that is why I'm so proud to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States, Nicole Shanahan.
Wait a minute. Who? I mean, come on. I mean, people used to make fun of some vice presidential candidates because nobody had ever heard of them before, like Dan Quayle and maybe Sarah Palin. This person's never even been elected to any office in her life, and he wants you to believe she could run the free world. I'm sorry, RFK, that's a fail.
It's my intention that the federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge, and I expect the Congress to support my effort.
Okay, Mr. Biden, what about the insurance company whose boat took down the bridge? So you're just putting this all on the back of the American taxpayer till we know for sure who's responsible for paying for this.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia?
Woo! Can you imagine why Corinne Jean-Pierre did not want to be asked that particular question on a radio interview?
I would definitely ask that question to her.
This is a reporter out of Charlotte, North Carolina. How he ended up with Corinne Jean-Pierre on his show, I don't know. But she must have thought it was friendly territory, or I don't think she would have done it. She only likes to take questions from friendly reporters and will only allow the president to take questions from friendly reporters. And this guy put her on the spot, and how she reacted to it was so unprofessional. It could only have come from Corinne Jean-Pierre. I want to play this. So he asked her the dementia question. She says that's disrespectful. I can't believe you ask me that. Move on. What's the next question?
Relates to the economy.
So then he started in on it. Go to cut 11, Carl, please.
Gas prices and grocery prices then. Big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family, a working-class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID. There was the economy was in the tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the President Trump left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas, and because the president took action, we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow.
She hung up.
Wow.
Something tells me she did not really want him to have an amazing, amazing day.
No, she did not.
She wanted to tell him to go somewhere.
Yeah, all the talking points. Oh, gas prices. He did something on gas prices. Yeah, he robbed these strategic oil reserves to try to pump down. He went to Venezuela and dealt with a tyrant dictator to try to lower gas prices instead of letting American oil companies create more gasoline. He's done a lot of things to run up prices here and there and all over the place. I mean, wow, what a spin machine. My guess is that's the last local radio interview Corinne Jean-Pierre ever does.
I didn't even know that she did local interviews.
I didn't either.
I thought it was just like what you see, you know, at the White House.
Well, my guess is if they weren't hand selected before, they will be now because she did not appreciate that at all in any way, shape, or form.
Loser, loser, loser.
All right, coming up, we're going to get to Genevieve Wood. Been anxious to talk to her about this. The Daily Signal has been covering the story of Ron DeSantis signing a bill that bans social media for kids under 14. Would you support that here in Missouri? We'll talk to Genevieve when we come back.
Texas.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Our friend Genevieve Wood on the phone this morning from the Heritage Foundation. Genevieve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark.
It's great to have you on here. You know, I was looking at this story yesterday about the Supreme Court and the removal of this transgender child from a home. I don't know if I'm missing something here, but I can't imagine the reverberation this has through a lot of states. I mean, that the court thinks that's okay. If I understand this correctly, the family disagreed with this child's transition. The child was removed from the home by the state, and the Supreme Court really said that's okay?
That's extremely hard to believe. I don't know if this is going to be the final ruling or not. I mean, those are questions are asked. That's what you're referring to, right? There was no actual ruling on this.
Yeah. The Supreme Court,
it's questions being asked.
The questions being asked by the courts, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we'll see where the ruling actually comes down. But it would be devastating if the court, I mean, I know that states like California, for instance, have threatened to do this kind of thing, to come in and say, if you as parents are not allowing your child who's 11 years old or however old to go through in transgender, we will remove your child. The state, you know, Department of Child and Human Services will come in and take the child, put them in another, like a foster home, and the state will then pay for them to go through transitions. So you've had crazy places like California suggest to do things like that. But for the Supreme Court of the United States to say that's an okay thing for the government to come in and do would be a travesty for families. So I hope the line of questioning doesn't show ultimately what the final ruling will ultimately be, because that would be a huge travesty for families.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with that completely. I just don't know how, like, we covered that story here regarding a family in Montana that had their child taken away. And then the state moved the kid across state lines to a different facility where it was a girl transitioning to a boy who was housed with boys in a facility. And I'm shaking my head thinking, how can this happen in America that a parent's rights can be stripped away so easily?
Well, and that's one case, or that's one instance, and that once you have something like that become the law of the land, they can step in for a lot of other reasons. Maybe we don't like the religion that you're teaching them at home, right? We don't like the values that you're teaching them at home. It can get very tricky if all of a sudden the government gets to decide. And look, there are a lot of people on the left who think the government kind of owns the children. I mean, we hear, you know, when we've had all these debates about what children are taught in schools,
yes.
And you have the teachers union and others come out and say, well, actually, they're our children.
Yeah.
We should be determining what they learn. And the parent, what I thought they belonged to the parents and to the family. So there's a real struggle here for who actually do children belong to. And it's happening in multiple corners, not just one.
Genevieve, I think this bill is interesting that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis just signed into law that it would ban anyone, the minors, for anyone under 14, right, from getting on social media.
Well, it basically would say that any apps, websites that share or take other people's information, whether it's for sale or using it to market you and so forth, that yes, any child under the age of 14, unless a parent authorized it, they cannot have those apps on their phone or access to those websites. And that if they already have them, that as of January 1, 2025, they've got to be removed. So this is, I mean, you have to go through and read the law. It doesn't name certain, you know, it doesn't say Facebook. It doesn't say Instagram. It doesn't list all that, but it defines what social media they're talking about.
Yeah.
And so this isn't going to prevent you from going to say, you know, the Mark Cox Morning Show and seeing what the headlines are. It's not violating those kind of First Amendment rights, but any app that allows information about how you're using it, and takes your personal information or sharing any information like pictures that you post, sharing it with others. So this wouldn't this would not prevent a child from using text because they're talking with somebody else one-on-one. But if you were using an app that allows you to post something that many people have access to, which would be like an Instagram, for example, those are the kind of platforms they're saying if you're not 14 years of age, you can't use that without parental consent.
Wow. And I just wonder how they enforce it because kids are going to figure out ways around it, right? It's going to have to ask the question.
Enter
your birth date. They're going to lie about their birth date. I mean, how do you know? There's so much absent parenting these days.
And parents will set up the accounts for the kids, probably.
Yeah, some cases. Know? I'm sure.
Well, and look, if a parent approves it, they'll be able to approve it. But the reality is it's trying to make these social media companies take more responsibility themselves. Mm-hmm. Yes, obviously people will be able to get around the law at times, but you don't make it easy for them.
Yeah.
And this is having them step in and say, you've got to work harder to help us with this.
Genevieve Wood, thank you as always.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Have a good one.
Have a good morning. We appreciate that. And that's just crazy. We're going to talk more about that Supreme Court story coming up at about 8:20 with the American Family Association as well. Up next, we're hoping to get to our friend Griff Jenkins on the site of that bridge collapse out in Baltimore. Stay tuned.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware to our train or by car.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, more bonus Griff today because I noticed him live this morning at the foot of that bridge there in Baltimore, and I reached out to see if we could get him on the air. How are you, buddy?
Hey, man, I am good. From the border to the bridge, at your service, Mark Cox. And let me tell you, you know, Mark, this story, this is a big story. And I think part of the reason why it is because the entire nation has now watched this just stunning video and how quickly the entire span of that bridge collapses when that container ship hits it. And as tragic as it is now with the 6 unaccounted for construction workers presumed dead, just about 25 minutes ago, I was able to interview Governor Moore, Wes Moore, the Maryland governor here, and it really a fascinating news breaking packed interview. He actually said that those workers were also notified, unfortunately, obviously too late, but that Mayday call that went out and the Maryland Transportation Authority officials that stopped traffic on that bridge, he called them heroes and said, but for them, this would have been much, much worse.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, Griff, I want to say this, preface this before I say what I'm about to say. I admire what you do, and you're there covering a very serious story. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, and I don't want to put you on the spot here. Earlier this morning, Laura Logan, who used to be a correspondent for 60 Minutes and CBS News and all of that, and has done some stuff for Fox over the years, started asking some questions about the investigation into this. And she claims sources that are wondering the impact this is going to have on infrastructure on the East Coast, and suggested that since 9/11, federal authorities have been worried about the possibility of attacks that would target infrastructure. And she said this one fits all of those categories because it shuts down that 295 corridor or whatever it is through there. It restricts everything in that bay that's behind this bridge for months, potentially years, and that this would be the kind of thing a terrorist might target if they were going to. And everything I've heard out of the authorities so far is there's nothing here to indicate this is a terrorist attack. Is anybody asking that question in that way there on the scene?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. I haven't seen Laura's reporting there, but you know, to your point, the last question I just asked on live TV of Governor Moore, I said, obviously, Governor, this was quickly ruled out as an accident. This is not terrorism. But I wonder, as you rebuild, and we've heard the intelligence experts opine about this on other channels, do you worry that there are vulnerabilities that those that want to do us harm in faraway places might look at this and see an opportunity? And I don't have the exact words what he said to me, but he essentially said, look, we got to do more with our infrastructure. And, you know, he had a message of, you know, you thinking about doing armed Baltimore, you better think twice. But at the same time, he didn't discount the fact that, you know, our infrastructure is got to be rebuilt in a much more fortified way. And you know, I think, I mean, my gut reaction, and again, I'd have to look back at the transcript. My gut reaction is he sort of implicitly acknowledged that, yeah, you know, I'm not going to tell you what our conversations are behind closed doors, but of course everybody's looking at that, because we know that, you know, the future acts of terrorism and the lessons we learned from 9/11, that there our enemies are getting smarter too.
Yes.
And the catastrophic damage they could do by shutting down things like the Port of Baltimore, which is among the country's largest ports, with number one here in Baltimore for, you know, importing light trucks and cars and things like that. And also the economic damage it does. You know, terrorists want to instill terror, and that's what 9/11 did. But short of that, there's 140,000 people tied to this port that are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives now. This mm-hmm. is catastrophic impact. And I'm looking back at my transcript now. You know, I said, does it make you worry about vulnerabilities? And he says this, Mark. He says, I know that we have to make sure that our infrastructure is protected, and for that anybody is looking at trying to understand where the vulnerabilities lie, do I think they could potentially look at things that have happened and get creative? I just think that we as a state just have to get even more creative. So that's kind of a politician's way of saying, yeah, we're looking at that too, and we're going to try and make sure the rebuild doesn't offer that opportunity.
Yeah.
Griff, I know this is now being considered a recovery effort versus rescue. Do we know what the plan is moving forward? Do they already have people in the water looking for these people who are still in it?
Yeah, great question, Kim. And the governor told me there's people, as we're speaking now, those divers are back in the water. And he told me, I asked him point blank, have we recovered any of the bodies? And he said, no, we haven't recovered any. And I sure hope that we do for the closure for those families. But getting underneath there, there were clearly, it looks like they believe that there may be some workers that got trapped in the vehicles. Because remember, they were doing work out there on the bridge. And he talked about the complex, difficult challenge of getting down with such little visibility and all of the mangled steel from the bridge debris and the currents running, you know, how difficult it may be to get to those bodies, to get them out to recover them.
Yeah.
Because there were no other cars, because of the Mayday call, they shut it down. So the only cars that would have been on the bridge at that time when it went down would have been the cars from the construction crews. Am I right?
He says the best information they have now, it's not that they're still investigating it to see if there were any just average Americans that happened to be on that bridge. It doesn't appear that they're not led to believe that there were any in any of the vehicles down there are just those of the construction workers, and hopefully that'll be the case. But he did pivot to, you know, the fact that it's still under investigation, and look, it's a bridge, so they're going to have cameras, you know, people coming on and off, just general traffic cameras. I'm sure they can take a look. It's interesting if you watch that time-lapsed video, and again, hard to say exactly how close it was, but there's that, you know, far away time lapse of the bridge. You can see not too soon before, you know, closely between when it actually collapsed, you do see a couple of 18-wheeler lights go across there.
Right.
So I'll say that's awfully lucky for those those individuals.
No kidding. Well, Griff, thank you for giving us an extra report this week. We appreciate it. Checks in the mail, my friend.
Bonus time. Always great to be with you guys, Mark and Kim. Have a great one.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Griff Jenkins there live in Baltimore covering that tragedy. It is a tragedy. I don't mean to suggest that it's not a tragedy. But I guarantee you they're looking at something else potentially connected to this.
This is going to be interesting. The question is, though, even if they find something, how much will they disclose to us?
Probably not much, because they won't want people to panic unless they can figure out some way to guarantee it can't happen again going forward. When you're talking about a ship that big, wow, what does that entail? We need to get maybe one of the captains on here who knows a little bit more about that for sure. All right, coming up next hour, we're going to get to this question of the Supreme Court allowing a transgender child to be removed from a home. We'll be back in just a minute.
I just read about it. Just read about it on the internet today. Speaking of Trump, today he posted a video of himself selling a new line of $60 Bibles. He's selling Bibles. Take a look at this.
All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book.
Yeah. It's my favorite book, right after Captain Underpants and the Cheesecake Factory menu.
It's not okay to question anybody's religion unless you're Donald Trump, right? They don't like him because he must be anti-Semitic, even though his daughter is a Jew and his grandchildren are Jews and his son-in-law is a Jew, and he's done more for Israel than any other president. But now that he's promoting Bibles, now they make fun of him for being a Christian?
Yeah. You know, I said something on the show the other day. And that was, I said, Donald Trump's not a Christian. And I gave that a lot of thought. And just to make this clear, I don't know if he's a Christian. I don't really have the right to be saying something like that, because only he knows where his heart is. Only the Lord knows if he has a relationship with him.
Right.
So I hope he does.
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of ways to look at this. Had an interesting conversation with Amy Markscores down the hallway here one time. She had me on her when she had a weekend show. She had me on her show, and she wanted to know what drove me to conservative politics. Because for a lot of people, they come at it from different points of view. Maybe you became more conservative because of your religion. Or maybe it was an issue about religion that brought you to being more conservative in your point of view. And I told her that for me, it wasn't that. And not that I haven't always been Christian. When I was younger in high school, I had many of the same conservative beliefs that I have today. And it certainly wasn't because I was going to church every Sunday and being a good Christian. I can tell you that. That has changed somewhat over the years. And it certainly affected my view of things like abortion and issues like that. But I've always had conservative values. I don't, like you said, I don't know that you can draw that conclusion of Trump from his comments here. But listen to what he said yesterday about the Bible. Listen.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our Founding Father documents. Yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day. Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again.
Thank you, Donald. And the left hates him if he's selling shoes or Bibles. It doesn't matter. He might as well be hawking Bibles. And they also hate the fact that he doesn't need the money anymore because he's a multi-billionaire. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.